Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a new episode of The Partner, the podcast, where we talk everything Aleti. So it's been 434 days since Aleti lost a game at home in La Liga, and the last team to beat Aleti at home in La Liga was Barca, which was 1-0 last season, and they have ended Aleti's 25 league home games without defeat in La Liga. And that run was basically ended in all competition by Aleti Club in the semifinals of the Copa del Rey. And before that run was ended in La Liga, Aleti eliminated Inter Milan from the round of 16 to make it to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And join me to talk about all that is Kelf. Kelf, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, let's say I'm up and down, like Aleti, I would guess. So, Kelf, it's been kind of like a funny 14 days for Aleti, because the team had to prepare for the game, the Champions League against Inter. Team lost to Cadiz and then came, and with the support of the home crowd at the Metropolitano, they knocked out Inter from the Champions League after a penalty shootout, which Oblak was the savior. And then the team came into the game against Barcelona with high morale. Barca themselves was also on a high after knocking out Napoli from the Champions League as well. But then Aleti kind of started the game like on the front foot, had some decent chances. The XG does not tell the story. If the player does not take the shot or the player misplaces the shot, it kind of reduces the expected goals. But after a while, it's like everything started going in Barca's favor, and it was like a disastrous performance from Aleti, given Barca basically handed Aleti their biggest league defeat since 2016. So, Kelf, what do you think like kind of went wrong in the game for Aleti?
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, you guys have started very well in the first kind of half an hour. You were on top, very good in terms of your pressing, very high up the pitch. Slightly different system because Cholo was more of a 5-4-1 because Llorente and Riquelme were wider to try and press in a slightly different way with Morata, a bit more isolated on his own. But you were winning the ball back quite high up the pitch. You had a couple of chances, in particular the one for Barrios that just went wide after, I think, Roberto lost it on the edge of the box for Barca. I think Depaul won it back, but it could have been Llorente, and the chance wasn't taken. And then, as you said, it was a pretty poor reaction after that, because up until Barca went in front, you were playing well and you were the better side.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, we were the better side. It's like we were riding on that wave of momentum which we had in midweek against Inter Milan, which was kind of great. But then all of a sudden, it's like all the energy we had, is like we gave everything on Wednesday, and then on Sunday, we had nothing left in the tank. And after, like you said, half an hour, it was all Barca. We just went down. It was like they flipped a switch. And that was really, really kind of bizarre, because if we like maybe looking into things, if Aleti, I think this performance against Barca kind of backs what Simeone always says. No matter how good or your play style is, if you can't like be forceful, be decisive, okay, then basically there comes a moment where the opponent obviously has his or her own chances to like maybe take the lead, and if they do that, basically it flips the game up, and then you have to be chasing the game. And that was the case against Barca, because should Leno, should Barrios, or even Morata had maybe taken one of those chances, Aleti have the lead, and then Aleti at home and with that home crowd, that basically changes everything. But now with Barca taking the lead, especially the goal coming from, I would say, a player Aleti and an Aleti employee who is on loan at Barca, that's Joao Felix. And you kind of know the bad blood, which I would say maybe exists between him and maybe say the squad. Contrary to what he said after the game, saying basically you could see him talking with Leno and everything is all good and he's not the bad guy. But we all watched the first leg of the game and we all saw how the players reacted towards him and the amount of fouls that Aleti committed, which was basically on Joao Felix. And with him giving like Barca the lead, I think Aleti are like kind of behind, and it's like everything went down here. And it was quite funny, because before the goal, okay, Barca basically were at that moment where they are like on top, and now they are about to create a chance, like a cutback, and Witzel basically blocked that off, and then the ball went to Molina. I'm no expert, okay, but I was expecting Molina in that case to maybe like win a throw in there or like try to get rid of the pressure. But instead, he kind of like tried to go long to Morata, and then what happens? Barca win the ball back, the pressure is back on, and you know, it's like a little bit caught in between the moment where you are trying to attack because the pass is played to Morata, and then with Barca win the ball back, so the defense is not settled, and then all of a sudden, a little concede from another cutback. And if you really watch the picture, you kind of see that there's a gap between Atleti's last line, which is Witzel, Renudo, and Lino, because Savic was out of position, and then and the midfield approaching. So that's something that was an issue for Atleti, I think, at the start of the season when it comes to pressing, which has been settled. Then now when it comes to box defending, it seems Atleti still has that same issue. And then Kelv is like, whenever this Atleti, okay, or Diego Simeone's Atleti meets Football Club Barcelona in La Liga, it's like a meltaway. That was the case when Atleti head into the tie, the first leg of the game in the league, as like favorites, and then they went away, and then they melted away. It's not been the first time. I think that was basically the same case last season. So, Kev, what's the issue between Atleti and Barca, or is just one of those games where, let's say, for example, Xavi has now 5 victories in 5 games over Simeone, where Xavi has a number on Simeone, and it's like one of those games where, let's say, it was like with the case where Barca could not win at Anoeta.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, all clubs and managers and players, they go to places where they play against teams that they beat them very, very well. I mean, you faced Real Madrid three or four occasions this year, and I don't think they've beaten you in any competition. And then you've lost the last 5 against Barcelona, whether that be at Camp Nou, Montjuic, or at the Metropolitano. So there's a little bit of element in that. I think you're right in terms of defensively, there's too many gaps, particularly from defence to midfield, because I think you've got a midfield that actually wants to do the right thing. They want to push high, they want to press high up the pitch, but the problem is the defenders, they naturally want to be deeper, so they don't come up with the team, they drop. And that's where those gaps can appear. And you mentioned yourself about not defending the box well. Maybe not specifically in this on this example, because as you said, Savic went to try and fill that gap in midfield, but then got caught out. But I think sometimes, particularly with the teams that play a back three, I think there's sometimes in players' minds, they think we've got an extra defender, so that means we're okay. That doesn't always mean the case. I think a lot of your defenders, they get attracted to the goal, and then that frees up space. It was a similar thing. You could see, you know, Lewandowski turns. Can't remember who he turned, but he turns. You all run back, and he just drags it back for João Félix, who comes onto the ball and scores with a not an easy finish, but not a difficult one either for someone of his calibre and his ability. So I think it's more to down to the fact that, yeah, of course, Xavi has a bit of a number. I think it's a mistake to play a back three against a team that, number one, only plays one up front. Number two, matches you in midfield. But number three has very, very good wingers. On this occasion, it was Rafinha and João Félix, because you know, Lamine Yamal was on the bench. That's maybe something that Charlo's got to do. He's got to look at it more, particularly because there's a chance, if we go into the Champions League, there's a chance that if results go the way that you can face them in the semi-final. So Charlo's got to come up with something different, because the only time you've played well against them was probably the second half at Montjuic this season, where you were better, and Iñaki Peña made a couple of really good saves to prevent you getting a draw, which you maybe could have even deserved. So I think it's more about sorting those out. It's about, we'll come on to it later about the recruitment thing, but it's either the team's got to defend deeper and not press as much, or if you're going to press high, you've got to basically tell the defenders, you've got to play on the halfway line. We know there's a risk of the ball going in behind, but you've got to do it. Because otherwise, then you can see sometimes that Koke hesitates. He wants to, I mean, he didn't play, but I'm talking in general, because he didn't play in the Barcelona game, but he plays in other games. And you think, I want to go, but none of the defenders are supporting me. And then that's how those gaps appear. I mean, we've spoken before about the gaps either side of him. So it's very difficult to see. But I think there's got to be a bit more flexibility from Simeone. I know we spoke last year about the fact that he changed system too much, but I think you've got to look at your opposition. This is just a general thing. I don't think enough coaches do that now. I think there's so much about this is us and this is what we do. I think you've got to look at your opposition and go, we don't need a back three. There's one striker. There's Lewandowski, and there's, in this example, and there's Fermin Lopez making runs in behind. You don't need three centre-backs to cope with that. You need, you know, could he have played a 4-3-3? Could an extra player have gone in midfield to try and outnumber Gundogan, Sergio Roberto and Fermin Lopez? These are the sort of things that have to be discussed, looked in training, and even looked in other games. You know, if you're playing against another team that plays at 4-3-3, that play similar to Barcelona, I mean, Las Palmas, Girona, those sort of teams that have a similar idea. You know, try it against them. Because if he just repeats what he's done, if you do get Barcelona in the Champions League, then unless Barcelona just don't turn up, the outcomes are going to be exactly the same. And I think Barca have confidence going into the Atleti games, knowing that, well, we've beaten you. We may struggle against other teams, but we've beaten you. We've done the double over you. And particularly at the Metropolitano, a place that you mentioned at the beginning, how good your home record is, it will just give confidence and confidence. So Charlo has to come up with a slightly different way. He's got to look at Barcelona and go, not only what can we cause for them, because you did that in the first 30 minutes, but how do they hurt us and how do we combat that? You know, is it an extra player up front or is it an extra player in midfield? I mean, they're both debatable and they're both good answers, but he has to look at that and he has to find what the solution is.
Well, Kevlar, like you have said, okay, the team basically lacks flexibility. And like you said, Barca played with a single strike and then Atleti were playing with a back three. And without Hermoso, like you said, there was not maybe no need to play a back three because the back three basically accommodates Hermoso, covers for his weaknesses out of possession, and also him pushing up into midfield to be that extra man, like you suggested. Maybe Renildo is completely different because he's more of like a winger type of defender or a wing back. Sorry, he's more of like he was a fullback. So he's not very like stood in position like him. Also, he's so playing him there kind of like requires something else from him. But now the question begs the case. The question now is that are Atleti actually that flexible to be able to like switch setups? And the answer is basically no. And like you said, we are going to cover when we're talking about player transfers because, like we recorded the first episode we did together this season, we talk about like the fact that the squad is basically built for a back three, and I think that's what Cholo has righted on. But now you have rightly said there have been games in which the back three has not been needed, where you need that type of flexibility, and Atleti has lacked that this season. And hopefully that's something we can adjust. And you also mentioned that gap which comes from in the press from indecisiveness, which was not seen on Wednesday against Inter, which like the whole team was committed. And now against Barca with maybe tired legs, and you have that kind of like the defenders also, they are like, can I really maybe play 50 meters away from my goal? Can I push that higher up the pitch? And then you have that indecisiveness which creates that gap between attack and defense. Like we saw a number of times with Frankie de Jong receiving in the midfield with a lot of pace to kind of like turn around and move forward with the ball. So, there's been like a team in Atleti's game, okay? Away from home, Atleti always, like, they start low. And then when they are behind, they kind of, like, try to up the tempo. That wasn't the case against Cadiz because it was really a poor game from Atleti's side. And at home, you have them starting, like, on the front foot, take the lead, and then they kind of lose momentum throughout the way. That was evident in the game against Barca. That was evident in the game against Betis. So, what do you think that's the case for Atleti? Starting at home, do you think the fans are the reason why maybe they start on a higher foot and then as the game goes on, they kind of lose the momentum and then away from home, losing and then they kind of up their game? What do you think is the issue for that?
I think there's a few things. I think, of course, your fans play a part when you're at the Metropolitano. That's a given. I think there's a difference in how the opposition, your opponents, six, I think they look at going to the Metropolitano and they'll think like, yeah, this is going to be difficult. They're always up for it at home. They always start fast. Where if you're the home side playing against Atleti, you probably think we can get at them. They don't like playing away from home. As you said, everything's slow. Everything's they just take too long to get going, and they may get going, but by that time they're 2-0 down, and the game could be pretty much done. So I think there's a combination of things. I think a lot of it boils down to mentality. I mean, Simeone's admitted himself, hasn't he, that I don't set up the away games well enough. I mean, you've had enough throughout your managerial career. I mean, how you keep getting that wrong, I don't know. When you've got the quality that you guys have, it's ridiculous. And I think everyone knows that I support Brighton. I think Brighton and Atleti, they're different teams, but I think they have one thing in common, is that they play better, home or away, when they play at a quicker tempo. And of course, the idea is, particularly brought in by Guardiola and other coaches, be like, you have more control if you slow the game down. I don't personally believe that. Okay, you can have the ball and keep it more if you slow the game down, but a lot of occasions you're not doing anything with it. You're just keeping it, and the opposition are going, well, you're not causing us any problems. We're going to be in our defensive shape, whatever that defensive shape is, and you've got to try and break us down. And I think because you start quick, because you start fast, you're very direct, you'll get the ball in the box, particularly when Morata plays, and that makes sense because of Morata's ability to win headers. He's one of the best in Europe. And yeah, I think a lot of it, it's mentality. It's the fact that, you know, the real top teams, and I mean the real top teams, your Man City's, your Real Madrid's, that sort of group, the group you're not in, but the group you're not far off either, it doesn't matter if they're home or away. They know what the plan is and it'll be executed. It doesn't really change. Small, tiny things change, you know, as we were talking about. Maybe the system changes a bit because of the problems the opposition can cause you. Maybe a different profile of player in a particular role is needed, because maybe you may have more of the ball, or you want to go more direct, or you feel that you need to do more short part. That sort of thing can happen. But the basic fundamentals, because that's the sort of team that Simeone likes, in terms of, right, yeah, we'll be direct, we'll press well. You know, there's that clarity about it. And I think there's a clarity at home. You were talking about it earlier. There's a clarity in the home games. We saw it in the best example was against Inter, really. Maybe not in the first 15, 20 minutes, but beyond that, there was a clarity, particularly after it 1-0 down, right, we've got to go for this now. We've got to play high up the pitch. We've got to win the ball back as early as we possible. We've got to look for Griezmann, look for Morata or Memphis when he came on, because he was incredible. And that sort of thing. And I think there has to be a clarity of idea from Simeone to go, like, I know we're away from home. I mean, I know it's difficult if you go to the Bernabeu or to Montjuic or to San Mamés, but you've gone to Almeria and couldn't win. You went to Cadiz and couldn't win. And other places down there where you think, like, just be yourselves. If you go there and be yourselves, 9 times out of 10, I mean, off days happen, but if you go there and play your way, you'll beat them. You've got the quality to do it. So for me, it's a bigger thing, more of mentality than anything else. I just think Simeone is too negative, too defensive in those situations. I understand it when you're playing against the real top sides a bit because of the quality they have, but you're Atletico Madrid going to Cadiz. This is no disrespect to them, because they're well organised and no side is easy to beat. But if you went there and just played it and do what you did at home, you'd beat them. I have no doubt in my mind you'd beat them 9 times out of 10.
Well, Kev, well, I think I agree with you on that. There was a tweet from Aldo Cianetti on Twitter, I think 2 seasons ago, about the fact that each team, okay, kind of gives off the energy of, like, who is in charge. I think we all know Cholismo is about, like, grinding results out, going things the hard way. And I think, like, you and I have discussed last season and earlier on this season, there's a change in the style of play. And like you pointed out, Atleti are at their best when they play at a quicker tempo. Like, that was the case against, like, Inter, especially in the final stretch of the game, where they could, like, you have that incisive passing, you had those link-up plays, or even going back to after the World Cup last season, where that was very, very normal for Atleti, or common, where you could see them stringing passes together at quick tempo, the synergy between the players. But now, I think, like you have rightly said, with Simeone, the how can I say, it's like the mentality, or like the first thing that comes to mind, especially for the players, is that we have to be a little bit defensive, even if we want to have the ball. It's like, especially when Atleti have the lead, it's like, if we take a lead, we can't keep on attacking. The mentality is maybe we drop off a little and then we hit them on the counter-attack. And like you said, I agree on you that Simon is a little bit negative. And I think that's maybe because of like who he's been or the ability that he has built since he came in charge in 2012. So it's not easy changing who you are, but I think gradually the team has been changing. But I think that's maybe a reason for the team's poor away performances away from home, because like you said, we give a lot of respect to teams away from home. It's obviously true that those teams play at home and obviously they kind of want to attack you more. But now you have the cases where, especially in games where Aletia have taken the lead, or in games where Aletia are like, okay, we are away from home. Like you said, in the case of starting slow, we are away from home. These guys obviously they have their fans behind their mentality thing. So we maybe start at a slower pace, like try to contain them and then gain momentum into the game, which is obviously not a good sign. That was the case against Sevilla, and in the end we lost the game. If you notice, Aletia away from home are like they are poor, but some of the grounds Aletia have lost using such approaches. You have, like you mentioned, Al Maria. You mentioned Cadiz, those are teams in the relegation. Even Sevilla, those are teams in the relegation zone. So, like you said, it's really a case of mentality, because if you can recall, we played, I think Cadiz at home, and they scored, they were 2 goals up, and we were able to like overturn things. And they scored us 2 goals, not because we were defending, but because we were playing our game, and then we continued doing that. But away from home, like you said, it's kind of like a mentality thing, and maybe that's where we really need to see the Cholismo 2.0, because there has been a change of Cholismo from maybe the team who are like direct, relies a lot on counter-attacking and defending deep and solid in a 4-4-2 compact block, to maybe to a team now that plays with a 3-5-2, wants to build up from the back, wants to arrive in the final third in an advantageous situation for its forwards. But now that shift in mentality has not been there. I think that was evident in the season where Aleti won the league, where in the first half of the season, everything was going too easy, with Aleti having above 50 points after 19 games. And then after that, it was like, it's true that a combination of factors, like maybe Trippier getting injured, but it was like somebody flipped a switch, and what happens now? Aleti started like struggling, and then you have this team which are grinding result. It's true, it's part of the Aleti DNA to like, kind of like, yeah, nothing comes easy, but like you said, with the quality we have and a switch of mentality, what happens? We can actually win games more comfortably away from home. It's true there are some deficiencies in the squad, like us not being able to like defend our box. But take for example like Girona. Girona basically have like a worse defense than us in terms of personnel, but they themselves are doing very well away from home. And I'm sure you agree with me that our away form basically sabotaged this season for us. And it's true, personnel-wise has been an issue, but mentality has also been an issue. And I think that's where Cholo has to work the most upon, where he has to like maybe transmit his messages to the players that we are little, like you said, we are not Real Madrid, but we are above the likes of Cadiz. So we have to go home or away. We dominate and then we win the team. I think that was very evident in the reaction from the fans after the game against Cadiz, where they were not very, very happy with the performance from the players. And it was like a lockless performance. And I think with this squad, okay, we have seen that a lot. And I think I've asked the question on Twitter, what do you think is the issue? And I think most of the replies many give is mentality. And especially those who follow La Liga closely, they are like, if you watch the way Aleti approach games from home and away from home, you watch the amount of possession they have, you watch the defense height of the defensive line, you watch the pressing intensity, is completely different. And if you agree with me, the game against Real Madrid, which ended 1-1 draw with Llorente like salvaging a point for Aleti. If Aleti actually went for that game with Real Madrid actually struggling, we won the game. But now with the mentality was just to, oh, we are away from home, let's like give respect to the opponent. And like you said, playing against the likes of Man City that way is not really too bad. But Aleti at the level where the mentality has to change, where the game against Cadiz, we don't have to be on the back foot, but on the front foot for majority of the game, given the quality we have. So, we've talked, I think the mentality we can both agree, has been what has affected Aleti throughout the season. And like I mentioned, the way performance or the way results has sabotaged Aleti's season. So what do you think are like the ambitions for the rest of the season? Because obviously at the start of the season, the ambitions are basically top four finish. That's from the board, top four finish. We have a good Copa del Rey run, and then we basically make it to the knockout rounds of the Champions League and maybe go as far as we can. And so far, according to the ambitions of the board, it's looking good, because it's true, Aleti is at the moment is at fifth position, 1 point behind Aleti Club in fourth, but we still have a chance to finish in the top four. And then the Champions League, we are in the quarterfinals. We had a decent draw against Borussia Dortmund. who are a team who are not playing all that well, but it seems to get things over the line. So what do you think would be maybe a positive end to the season for Atleti, given all the struggles away from home and also the yo-yo results, which has basically made the season not so good for Atleti fans?
Well, as you said, the ambition, the main one, if we go through the competition, La Liga, it has to be top four. You need it financially. You need it in terms of that continuity, because for a club as yourself that has been used to being in the top four for pretty much the whole time, not the whole time, but for the vast majority of the time that Scarlo's been in charge. You need it. You need that continuity to keep going, to keep proving, to keep showing people that you can do it. I've just had a quick look at your running. It's not the easiest. Your next game is at Villarreal, who are in much better form. In the Champions League, you can beat Dortmund over two legs. You've got the ability to do it. And I think if you were to get through that and to get to the semi-finals, considering where you were last year, that is a very, very good achievement. Because, of course, last year you finished bottom of your Champions League group. So getting out of it, winning the group, and then getting past Inter, who, for most people's opinion, were the third best team left in the competition. So in the Champions League and you know, you got to the semi-finals of the Coppa del Rey, you've probably, at the moment, done what most people would have expected. Of course, in La Liga, you should have competed for the title more. I'm not saying you should have won it, even though you guys were my favourites at the start of the season. But you should have competed for it better. There's no doubt about that with the players that you have. I know you've had a couple of injuries, but you haven't had as many injuries as others from me thinking about it. So you have to get top four, but it won't be easy because Athletic Club are firing. They've got a cup final coming up. They've already beaten you at San Mamés, I think, in the league. So, and you've got to play them at the Metropolitano. So it's all about you just got to finish as high in the league as you can, which should be the top four. Dortmund won't be easy, but you've definitely got the capabilities to beat them over the two games. You're definitely going to have to win the home game. You've got to win the home game to give yourself a chance over in Dortmund, because of the poor away form. It's definitely going to be a worry for the Atleti, for everyone at Atleti. And the other reason to make sure you're in the top four is that there's no guarantee that Spain will be in the top two of the coefficient to get the extra Champions League place, which could be fifth. So you just need to keep going, keep hopefully find a bit of form, get an away win from somewhere, whether that's at Villarreal, whether it's later on, I don't know, or even winning Dortmund would be fantastic. Just get an away win to try and get the confidence back and to try and get that feeling of, yeah, we can. Because at the start of the season, before probably the trip to Barcelona, you were winning away games. You went to Rio and scored seven. I think you scored three, I think, or something like that at Celta. So it wasn't a problem at the start of the season, but over the season, it's become one. So hopefully a win from somewhere, even if you don't deserve it, even if the performance has been what it has been, if you can just nick one from somewhere, it surely will then give you confidence. And if you get into the semi-finals of every competition, you have a chance of getting to the final, because Champions League and La Liga are very different. You know, the Champions League is a knockout competition and La Liga is over the course of a season. So as long as you can turn up on those nights against Dortmund and potentially, if you get through against either PSG or Barcelona, then anything's possible.
Well, Gelfl, have you said there's no guarantee for Spain to get the fifth place, because at the moment it kind of looks so tough. And it will be really, really, really difficult for Spain to actually have that, because the only Spanish teams left in Europe are basically only in the Champions League. And then as for the other countries, they have teams in the Europa League and the Conference League, which basically improve their chances, because wins are counted. It's not about the competition you play, even though La Liga has three teams left in the Champions League. So you talked about the league, and the league is really an interesting one. And it's really, really tight there, you know, because I think as the season goes on, I think maybe the two places will be left for three teams, which will, in my opinion, will be between Atleti Club and Girona. And if you look at the fixtures towards the end of the season, you are looking at tough fixtures. Atleti Club, Atleti and Girona all have games against Villarreal. And Villarreal under Marcelino recently has been really, really good. And obviously, that's a game you wouldn't want to play against them, especially if you are playing away from home. And Atleti, sadly for Atleti, they play Villarreal away from home. And like we were mentioning, Atleti's away form is not good. And as for Girona and Atleti Club, they play Villarreal at home. And then if you look at the Atleti's game, okay, Atleti has to also face both Girona and Atleti Club. Luckily for Atleti, that those are home games and Atleti has a very good home form. But now looking at the away trips, Atleti has to go to Real Sociedad, Atleti has to go to Getafe and even Mallorca. But the Mallorca trip may not be so tough given that Mallorca may be safe by then. But we all know Getafe is a trip no one wants to go to at any point of the season. Atleti also has Alaves. So, you know, playing against the relegation battling teams towards the end of the season, it's not so easy. And if you look at Atleti Club game, and you're looking at games which are tough, okay, you obviously have the away game for Atleti Club at the Metropolitano. Then you have the away game, for example, against Rayo, which I believe Rayo will still be in the relegation zone. And then you have the game in the Colosseum at Fosun Palace against Getafe. There are other games against Granada, but you and I know Granada this season have basically been up and down. And we all think by the end of April, they will surely be relegated along with Almeria. Now, as for Girona, their games are really, really tough because they have to play, let's say, for example, Barcelona at home. And it seems towards the end of the season, Girona are kind of like out of juice. So they will maybe try to squeeze something to make sure that they actually qualify for the Champions League for the first time in their history, which is something Michel actually said that at the moment we are fighting for the Champions League. They have an upper hand against Atleti and Atleti Club, but their games are not easy because you have an away trip to Mestalla to play Valencia, which is a trip where I believe no one wants to play. The Atleti has lost there. Real Madrid dropped points there. So it's not an easy away trip. Then you also have a game to Las Palmas, which is not so easy. And then you have games against you have Cadiz at home, which and Granada at home, which I think those should be favorable fixtures for Atleti. So looking at those fixtures, do you believe or think Mikel, for the end of the season, Atleti can make top four?
Of course they can, and the positive thing to mention in that is that effectively it's in your hands because I know you're fifth at the moment, but you know if you beat Athletic, if you beat Girona, you're taking points off them. So, of course, you have the ability to get top four. I personally think you will do it just. But as you said, it won't be easy. You've got difficult places. Alaves, I know you said the relegation battle. I think they'll be absolutely fine. Let's have a look. You go there. I think they'll be safe by the time you go there. I really do. I know it's not that many. I know it's not that far away, but Alaves are only probably a win or two away from being safe. So I think they'll be fine. You know, as you said, Villarreal and Girona are your next two, which are both going to be difficult. But in an Athletic Club, Mallorca, I think, will be fine. Plus, they've got the cup final as well to think about. And as you said, Getafe, probably not going to get Europe. They're probably going to be in and around where they are now. But as you said, no club in La Liga, no club, I don't think any club in Europe, particularly, maybe slightly less so now because Borja Mariel is injured and Enzunal has gone to Bournemouth. But you, as you said, we as a La Liga, you as a Leti fan, but both of us as La Liga fans, no, as you said, you don't want to go to Getafe. And in the final, you've got Real Sociedad, who could be cemented in that fifth or sixth. So, so may not have too much to play for on the final day, but it's in your hands. You know that if you beat the teams around you, you've got every opportunity of making top four. I think you'll do it, but you've got to play the games and you've got to win as many of them as you can, particularly. Not just carry on your home form, but you've got to try and win a couple of them at least to give yourself a chance of making sure that you do it. And as you said, the home games against Girona and Athletic in particular are going to be absolutely massive, because one slip up in either of them and it becomes very, very difficult.
Well, Kev, I believe, like you said, it's in our hands. And even though we are 7 points behind Girona at the moment, but I believe they almost have dropped points given that they have to play Barca. And I think Barca still have like this illusion that they can still like be in the title race, especially if they, say, for example, win the Clasico. And if we beat Barca, Girona and Athletic Club at home, then I think we boost our chances of qualifying. And I think also the international break comes at a very good time for Athletic. Even if Athletic would have won the game against Barca, I still believe it would have been a very good time for Athletic, because a lot of players were like playing on like they were like out of juice, especially cooking midfield. And you know Athletic's situation with the holding midfielder with no one to maybe rotate Koke with, maybe except Barrios, but we know of Barrios' inconsistency in his passing and also controlling of game tempo is not up there with that of Koke. So, Kelf, in the Champions League, Aliti had, like I said before, a favorable draw. I'm not saying it's an easy draw against Dortmund, which Dortmund's season have really been up and down. Okay, they have not really been the best. I think they are struggling in terms of performance-wise, but they seem to be like getting the result. And they are also in a struggle to like finish in the top four in the Bundesliga. And then the Champions League, their performances have not been great, even against PSV. PSV missed a lot of chances to maybe take the game to extra time. And like you said, winning at home will be key. And if we can do that, then we can go to the Signale Iduna Park and get maybe a favorable result to go to the semifinals. It is not all that done, but that's something achievable, and especially for Aliti. And like you said, I think it's also great for Aliti that during his international break, many of the players that have not been called, especially the likes of Koke, and you have Griezmann, who have returned from the French national team due to his ankle, so that's 2 weeks for it to heal. And then you have the likes of Witzel, who has been keen, and Aliti for defense not being called off, also time for him also. And maybe Jose Maria Jimenez to maybe heal up. And then, most importantly, I've been waiting for him is Lema, because without him in the team, I think most of the creativity has basically been on the shoulders of Depaul. And like we are going to talk about in a moment, about inconsistent player, you have Depaul who have not been really, really great. And now if you have Lema coming back from injury, we don't know the version we'll have, because his injury was really severe and made him to sit out for a while, but it's not his first time being injured. So if he can come back and maybe add maybe more competitiveness to the team and also take maybe that creativity off the shoulders of Depaul, who is basically in the top five players for smart passes, which is basically a pass that breaks the opening line to put the team in an advantageous situation. So, Kelf, we are talking about players now who have been inconsistent. And I think we have talked about the mentality of the team, which I think Cholo has to like improve, because I think it basically kills Aliti, especially away from home. We have talked about the tactics not being flexible, but now we have to talk about some players who are not consistent. Because if for you to achieve everything, I believe you need to have players who can at least be consistent for more than half of the games in the season. But Aliti do not have that. Aliti has a lot of purple patch players, that is, players who have runs where they are like the best in the world, and then now all of a sudden they are like the worst in the world. Saul is one of those guys, and he came out and he spoke about it, that he's not even understanding what is happening to himself. And we know for Saul, it's not just this season, but it's been a while. He even had a trip to go to Chelsea on loan, and it still did not work out for him. Then you have Molina, where at certain moments he's like the best right back in the league, and at other moments he's like he's a right back who's fit enough to play for a relegation battling club. Then you have Depaul, even within game you have up and down moments from him. And the sad thing for Depaul is the moment where he was basically on top, that's when the moment where the team went down. And you also have Savage. He's a guy we all know, especially La Liga fans, where in a blink of an eye, he can get a red card or change the game with a very stupid moment. And the bad thing for Aliti is that, given a club like Aliti, who are chasing for, let's say, three competitions each season, fighting in La Liga, in the Champions League, and also in the Copa del Rey, do you think these players are a reason why Aliti are where they are? Because, like I mentioned, to achieve something, you need to have players who can be consistent for more than half of the season.
It's definitely part of it. It's definitely, as you said, you know, if you're going to be a top team competing for all fronts, you need consistency. It's a difficult thing to explain, because, as you said, the three in particular you've mentioned, you know, they're all very good players, but for whatever reason, as you said, they're just not consistent enough It's Molina's a tad younger than the other two, so maybe patience with Molina is a bit more needed. But with Savic and DePaul, they're both older. They're both regular players for their countries. So it's confusing in a way. Whether it's the fact that some of them have been overplayed a little bit. Maybe as you mentioned with the creativity thing, for the fact of no Thomas Lemar, so DePaul's felt he's had to do too much. Whether there could be a scenario where you play Griezmann deeper to help him with that, and maybe play either Memphis or Correa with Morata in a two, or work something out that way. I don't know. To try and, you know, as I've said, maybe take the pressure a bit off DePaul or give him a bit of help in creativity, because you mainly look to go down the left for either Lino or Riquelme, who have both been pretty good this season. So it's a difficult thing to explain. But of course that they're part of it, because their inconsistency, which then leads to the team being inconsistent, which then leads to to the inconsistent results that you've had across the season.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned something which is very interesting, because in the title winning season, Atleti scored a lot of goals which were basically generated from the right hand side. And that was when Atleti had Trippier. I'm not like saying Atleti need Trippier at the moment, but if you watch Atleti's game recently, you notice a lot of over dependency on the left, and that is because of the ineffectiveness of the those on the right. And I think we have mentioned this before, where the left-hand side is basically Atleti create 1v1s for their dribblers, which are there, Lino, Riquelme this season, last season, Carrasco. And on the right now, you have maybe link-up play combination to maybe create runs now for the likes of Molina and Llorente. But now, that's not been happening, because down that side, okay, those combinations seem to have disappeared. Like in the game against Inter, there were a lot of chances for Atleti to like link up and then create chances for those combination plays, but a little rush crosses into the box instead of maybe trying to do what they have been doing. And it also makes you think, because in the start of the season, Atleti have the ball down that side. DePaul, especially, he is the one who ignites those combination. But recently, he's been like forcing crosses from deep into the box. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but the question is, where have those combination plays gone to? And that's down to the form of Molina, because there are a lot of times, okay, where you have switch of plays to Molina, and what happens? You have a miscontrol, you have a poor touch, and then it kills the move, because the opponent quickly shifts, like shuffle their block across. And that has resulted in something I noticed in the Inter Milan game, where Koke and Hermoso were like switching a lot of the play to DePaul instead of Molina, because DePaul basically had to be in the half space pinning a player so that Molina basically has a lot of space out wide and maybe to drive into. But now he had to drop deep and then be the one receiving those balls. I know it may be a combination of DePaul wanting to do a lot, given that the creativity is on his shoulders. But I believe if Molina was basically maybe not making a lot of like basic errors, which also coincides with his poor form, then I believe Atleti could have done more. And also, when you're over relying on one side, it kind of makes it easy for the opponent to defend against you. In that game against Inter in the first half, especially, you had to see a lot of times where Lino was outnumbered 2v1, 3v1. That's not how Atleti do things. Atleti basically create 1v1 on that side, but it is impossible to do that when the right-hand side is effective. So it kind of affects tactics. And now this comes back to the point we mentioned about flexibility. So I agree with that word you said about we attack a lot on the right, and that's down to the poor form of those guys. And now, Kölf, we have mentioned these guys who are not performing well, and it's kind of hard to pinpoint where exactly is the issue, because, like you said, it may be down to the fact that not a lot of rotations. Bertolo is trying his best. We have seen a lot of times where Llorente plays as the wing back. We have seen a lot of times where Saul is in, but now we know Saul is also another player who offers a lot off the ball, but on the ball, he's really, really struggling. As for Savic, you have this moment of madness, though his game against Inter was very great. Now, girl, if we come now to Atleti squad issues, I think this is no secret. We have been talking about this. And what is actually surprising is Nottingham Forest, okay, were banned for I think they had the point deduction by the Premier League for, I think, the new financial fair play rules which has been introduced in the Premier League, which is something we have in La Liga. And then you have like a Premier League official report that Atleti put a €56 million in for an attacker. And you are asking yourself, this team has washed defenders. No offense to the defenders Atleti has at the moment, but that's the reality. And this team has needed the defense to be rejuvenated, to be renewed with great signings, but they keep on going for cheap options. And now we are where we are now. So it makes the question, what is happening to Atleti squad planning? Because the rumors are linked with attackers and not defenders or even defensive midfielders.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more with what you've said about the squad planning. Nottingham Forest, just quickly, yeah, they received a 4-point deduction for breaking financial fair play, because it's slightly different in the Premier League. You're allowed to lose an X amount over a period of time, but they're tightening it. But the Premier League, the clubs are trying to get around it by bringing new rules in. But we're not going to go into that. But yeah, as you said, that the squad planning makes no sense. I mean, I've got here for the fact of, the money you've spent on forwards. I don't have the exact figures, but João Felix, the return of Griezmann, Morata, Correa, many years before, and you compare that to, you know, a lot of the defenders are free transfers, and it doesn't make any. We know that Cholo is conservative and he's defensive first. No problem in that. That's just who he is. So if you're squad planning for Atleti, whoever it is, you'll know better than me. But the fact of the matter is, the coach wants to be defensive, and yet it's the weakest part of your team. How that makes sense, I don't know. If you want to spend that money on attacking players and you want them all to be used, I don't think there's any. Sack Cholo and get an attacking coaching.
Oof.
If you want Cholo to stay there, as the club clearly want him to, then go out, instead of spending 120 odd million on forwards, go and spend, I don't know, 30, 40 odd million. The last time I can think of you spending any decent money on defenders was when your best back four, maybe in your history, you know, Juan, Fran, Godin, Miranda, not so much, and Felipe Luis, all three of them, I think, left in the same window. And that's when Kieran Trippier came in, Renan Lodi came in, and Mario Hermoso came in.
Yeah.
That was the last time. And even in that summer, Felix was bought because you sold Griezmann.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense to me that when you've got a coach that the biggest asset he brought to you by making you competitive was him having, I've got this defence. We've got Godin came from Villarreal. He put him in the middle with Miranda. He converted Juan Fran and got Felipe Luis. And then had originally Courtois, and then went and bought Oblak when Courtois went back to Chelsea. And you think, all right, we've got that, and then players can come in at the top end of the pitch. I mean, the imbalance of that and the money spent up front compared to the money at the back, it just makes absolutely no sense. So I think a decision has to be made. If you're going to keep, because as you said, you keep being linked with forward players. Brennan Johnson's a good player. He makes absolutely no sense for you signing him when at that point you still had Carrasco, because I'm pretty sure the bid went in before Carrasco went. You had Lino and Riquelme. We did podcasts last year and we were both banging on about it, me especially, and I said, Lino and Riquelme are good enough. I've been proven right on that fact because one of them is a regular and the other plays most games coming off the bench.
Yep.
So bringing Brennan Johnson into that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. As you said, you bought a young defensive midfielder in January in Artur Vermeulen, who I actually think does make sense. He just needs time and opportunity to play. We'll come on to that in a little bit. But yeah, the fact that literally no money's been spent at the back, maybe minus Molina coming in because you sold Kieran Trippier, and yet all the money's been spent at the top end of the pitch, it makes absolutely no sense. It makes none. I cannot believe how you've been allowed to do it. There's clearly a divide between what... Because I'm certain Diego Simeone is not asking... Sorry, not asking is the wrong word. I'm sure he's gone at them and saying, look, I need this defender, but he's going to cost this. And they're going, no, we'll buy this attacker. And most of the time, the attackers you buy, when you look at history since he's been your manager, a lot of them are either not there anymore or he discards after a few months. You think of Jackson Martinez, Luciano Vietto, Kevin Gamero, João Félix even. He doesn't get on with attacking players that much because a lot of them don't want to do the work defensively he asks. I mean, Morata was there. He goes away to Italy for 2 years. You try to sell him to Juventus. Juventus don't want him. And he ends up coming back and then Charlo works with him. And you sell Costa and then eventually Costa comes back. It just makes no sense in that gap in the fact that, I've said it before, if you have a style of play in your mind, don't get the coach to change who he is, because that's rarely going to happen. If you have an idea in your mind that's different to the coach, get rid of the coach and bring someone in that will play the way you want. And I think that's partly down to the fact that I think you're bored, and you've mentioned it before, is they don't really have my forward playing. I think a lot of them are scared. I think they're scared to make the change because of how your fans would react.
Yeah, that's true, Kelv. And what you have just said, okay, it's basically facts. That's what has been there. Because if you look at what Aliti has spent over the years, which is especially in the Cholo tenure, is basically over $1 billion. And it's true that we have also had sales up to that amount. But then, three quarter of that, those buys are in attacking positions. So, and not defensive positions, which basically tells you what's happening. And also, it also tells you that it seems the bot and Cholo are not like speaking the same language, or they are not on the same foot term, which now makes you to ask yourself the question, what have they promised to him to sign a new contract? Because I'm going to just put it on the table out there. I don't believe any top manager in Europe can work with this sport. To be honest, you give any top coach in Europe the same squad that he has, it's true, we can finish in the top four and we can be in the quarterfinal or semifinal of the Champions League. But I don't think they achieve anything meaningful with what they keep providing. We have seen Thomas Tuchel at Bayern Munich keep on asking for a holding midfielder until he had to bring Eric Dier on loan in January. Aliti and not Bayern Munich, that's true. We have seen Arsenal, okay, strengthen defensively before going for offensive profiles. And now look at where they are. So it kind of makes you ask the question, even if they want to play more attacking or front foot football, you can't do that with the defense or with the defensive player Aliti has. Because that obviously entails that you play majority of the game 50 meters away from your goal, and you don't have center backs who can actually defend that amount of space. Because Reinildo is basically the only Aliti defender who is comfortably defending with a lot of space behind, because he has that recovery pace. So it makes you have to ask the question that what more have they like maybe promised to him? Because there have been rumors in recent days which have been coming out saying Cholo wants things to be like strict or maybe decisive this summer. Because there have also been rumors in the past where he is asked for player A and B, and they have given him C, which basically aligns with what you are saying. And we have seen that resulting in maybe, let's say, the attacker being leaving after 1 year or 6 months. We have a lot of cases like that in Atletico under Simeone, which makes you to ask, and now the blame has to fall on the manager. But there are a lot of things behind the ground, behind the scenes, which we don't know, but we can only maybe suggest. Given based on the evidence we are seeing in front of us. So it's like an educated guess where we are saying Simeone is a manager who prioritizes defending over attacking. That was true, but things are changing now at the moment. And in modern football, for you to be able to comfortably play 50 meters away from your goal, a highland or whatsoever, you need defenders who are capable of defending those amount of space. Aliti doesn't have any, so Aliti just one at the moment, which was a defender which was brought in for, I think that was €1.5 million from Lille. So you have a team who wants to be at the top or wants to be closer to the top, but they had the finances, but they don't want to spend wisely or spend accordingly to be close to those at the top. Because a club like Atleti cannot spend the way they have been spending uselessly, €75 million on Lemar, €120 million on Felix. Those are spending that clubs like Barca, clubs like Madrid, clubs like Juve, City, United, they do, because those won't affect them. At the moment, at least you spend those money. And now you have a case where they attack, all the talent is up front, which is what we are talking about at the moment. And you just have less, like, what the board wants or what Cholo wants is like, it's not on the same line, but at the same moment, he signed a new contract. And for the first time in a while, I've been saying this throughout the podcast, Simeone has asked for a player in the press conference, and I was like, he's always like the gentleman guy and maybe cover up the board, but he asked for a signing and that was not given to him. Now we have heard him talking recently about they are talking about it internally, like that's an internal matter we are discussing, and we'll see how the summer. So it's really surprised that a guy who goes game by game, so is he like maybe giving hints of how the summer will look like? It shows you that there will or maybe a change, a lot of change at Atletico this summer. And that's something I'm really, really looking forward to. And Kelvin, talk about Vermeeren. Vermeeren is not really the type of defensive midfielder Atleti need. Atleti need someone with Pete Kondombia's defensive capability, someone who is actually physically good. Because if you look at Atleti's midfield, there's not a lot of physicality there. If it takes away from the equation, you have Depaul, you have Barrios, you have Koke, and you have Vermeeren. You don't have a lot of physicality there. And in European competition or top European or top games against the bigger side, they will eat you alive because you don't have that physicality. And I think that's why a lot of elite players are out of juice. So Vermeeren to me is more of an eight because he has that eye for a passing retail. I say the courage, the risks he takes, or the amount of vision he has basically shows you that he's that guy who can maybe take the creativity of the likes of Depaul and the rest, but like you said, he's still adapting.
Yeah, I mean, he's still adapting. It's going to take him a while because he's very, very young, but we know there's talent there. But and also he needs to play games because I think another criticism, if that's the right word, is for the fact that you've had younger players and Cello hasn't used them, and that's to their detriment. If you're going to sign these guys 18, 19, 20, whatever, I'm not suggesting they should start every week, but you've got to play them. Because I know my club, Brighton, I could give you three or four. I'm not going to, but I can give you examples. And the manager might say, oh, he's not ready. You're only going to be ready if you play. You need to play a run of games, ideally, or minutes in the majority. Because the best way you learn is by playing. You can only learn so much on a training pitch. I agree that with the point you've made, he doesn't have the physicality maybe to play the six role, but he can play a part in your midfield, and I think he needs to. I think there has to be. And also, if young footballers out there see that he's gone to Atletico from Belgium and is playing relatively consistently, they'll think, I can go there and get games. It won't be easy because it's a different language, it's a different culture, it's a different football, but I can go there and get games. You know, everyone in the Premier League talks about for the fact that, you know, my club Brighton, that we have lots of young players. It's because when we bring them and we tell them, if you work hard and if you're good enough, you will get games. You may not start every week, but you will play. And then they have the thing of, well, I can play. I can play top level football. I mean, in this case, European football this season. So you guys have to do that. I mean, and you've done that with Lino, and you've done that with Riquelme very well. But you need to do it in other areas of the pitch. If you get hold of a young defender, yes, there's going to be mistakes because he's young, but you've got to go through it. You've got to play. You've got to, because at some point, the confidence will come, the ability will be there, and it'll get you out of trouble. And I think that's the other thing that has to happen. You've got, I'm sure there's young talent in your academy that you'll know far better than me, because I don't watch the Atleti Junior teams. And I'm sure there's two or three of them, whether it be in midfield, maybe at the back or wherever, I'm sure that at the right game, at the right moment, maybe not Champions League level yet, but maybe in La Liga, like, yeah, let's have a look at him and sit and for two or three games and see what he does. And that's the sort of thing that I think needs to happen a bit more when you've got the club and the thing you have. I mean, I know you've not been the biggest fan of the work that Fernando Torres is doing, but he's getting good results, and I'm sure they're learning and improving because he's played at the top level. I'm sure he's helping them with that. So I think there has to be a bit more of that. If he agrees to bring in, if Simeone does want this change and he does want to have younger players, as you said, that can play higher up the pitch, and if I'm the club, I'm going, that's fine, I'll bring young players in, but you've not had the greatest record of using them. If we give you these guys, you have to put them on the pitch. And that may mean that maybe on the odd game you are inconsistent, because that's the thing with young players. They're not going to play well every week. Yes, you need the right balance. You can't just have kids all over the place. You need the right older players, and I think you've got enough of them to do that. And you're going to have to be like, right, yeah, Cholo, these guys won't give you exactly what you want straight away. You're going to have to become patient. But if we are patient, if we give them confidence, if we give them belief, if they're good enough, which if you're recruiting them, they should be, I'm sure that during the season, that'll be paid back for you, that you'll win games, you'll compete better. not just away from home, but you'll be able to repeat what you've done this year in the Champions League and maybe even go a step further. So I think that everyone's got to improve. Charlo's got to improve. The players have got to improve. The recruitment team at your club definitely has to improve. So, yeah, that's my way of saying it. It's the case of, I think we all know, particularly at the back, that you need younger players who are going to be willing to play higher up the pitch. But also, the coach on the side has got to go, has got to use them. Because sitting them on the bench is completely and utterly, it's pointless, it's counterproductive, and you're going to have players that stagnate. And then another young players, whether they're in your academy or elsewhere, won't want to go to Atletico Madrid because they won't be playing games.
Yeah, Kelv, I think you have maybe... You're spot on that, okay, I'll say that, because that's a weakness with, I think, Cholo. He's like, I would say, risk averse, where he's more of playing players consistently that are at the age of like 25, 24. And when it comes to young players, he's basically risk averse, maybe except for the fact that he sees that you are like good enough or he trusts you. And or like, we cannot forget, because it was due to like Aleti being a chaotic moment that Barrios came to be a first team player. And there's a record, okay, that I just had to say, because in the last three seasons, okay, Aleti are conceding over 50 goals, which is basically unheard of. This was the same Aleti team who considered less than 20 goals in a league season. So it's true they are cheap. I think Aleti chipping in out on like the center backs is an issue, but now Cholo, like we have discussed, has been evolving and needs to evolve. And now the next part of the involvement, like we talk about mentality and also like bringing in these young guys, because I think Aleti fans are basically crying, because you see Aleti having struggling in a game and then Cholo brings on Saul. And we know Saul is basically at the worst moment of his career, and you have a guy who is basically at the beginning of, who still has a lot to give to Aleti in Vermeer, and he's not giving that game time.
Yeah.
It's true, yes, he takes a lot of to adapt to Cholismo, but he doesn't give a lot of game time to young guys. And like you talk about this, the youth team, sadly for Aleti at the moment, in the senior team, Aleti are stuck in attack. And the bad thing for Aleti is that Aleti at the moment are producing a lot of quality attackers. So it's like Aleti needs defenders, then in the academy, the top talents are the attackers. And like you said, in the B team, we have Mariano. I think there's Mariano Gomez, who is the captain of the B team. He has trained a lot with the first team, but he has never played. That's someone I would give a chance to, because he has a lot of good reputation in the Segunda Ref. It's true, it's a very big gap from the Segunda Ref to La Liga. A very, very big gap. But giving him an opportunity won't hurt. And this is not the first time, okay, that I'm actually agreeing on Cholo not giving a lot of like chances to those players. Because there was a moment, I think Aleti had a lot of injuries. I think that was last season. In defense, and you had the likes of Felipe, Savic were all out, and Cholo played Kondumbia, played a lot of attacking like midfielders out in defense. And I was like, give these kids a chance, because I think Aleti had Camara at the moment, as was that B, and has maybe even made a debut with the first team. And I think that's also an area for a criticism I have for him, and an area where he has to improve. Because going into next season, there are two things I expect from Cholo, to be honest. I expect him to maybe improve the mentality of the team. Even if he's going to score the first goal, dropping deep and maybe playing counter-attack is not the best. Soccer punch the opponent while they are down. We need to keep on giving them blows so that we like see off the game. And from then now, we can maybe rotate, and then you have the likes, the key players in the team being rested. And now also giving a lot of young players chances. Because like you said, Vermeeren came this season and he has not played a lot. What will happen to maybe other young, bright players who are like, oh, going to Atletico Madrid, they'll be like, if I go there, I'll have to take like 6 months maybe to have, let's say, 90 million under my belt. So, no. So, it also kind of like limits the type of players you can sign, because at the moment, with the way things are going, you need to be able to give a lot of young players that opportunity, because to buy in those players when they are really ripe are very, very expensive. So, I think that's an area Cholo has to improve. So, Kelv, we are at the end of the podcast, and we have covered, I think, all we had to do, and I'm hoping you will be there, because I'm planning on inviting you for the final episode so that you can maybe talk us through some of the up players you want Aleti to maybe go for, because a lot of things can change between now and the end of the season, and I'm sure Aleti will want to get a lot of deals, like the TM of Feyenoord, which they are linked with Wefer. Before the Euro, because after the Euro, you know, these players have a lot of like a good campaign, their prices kind of skyrocket, and a club like Aleti who don't have a lot of funds may not be able to afford that. So, Kelf, the Champions League draw were out. Atleti playing Dortmund, Barca playing Paris Saint-Germain, Real playing against Man City, and then you have Bayern against Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting your what do you think the semi-finals will look like?
I think Arsenal-Bayern, just going on the other side first quickly, I think Arsenal maybe edge it because Bayern Munich have not been great, but you know, you can't necessarily rule Bayern out because they've got, if Harry Kane's fit, I'm an England fan, as you know, so, and if Harry Kane's fit, you know, you have a chance of winning the game because of his ability to score goals. My personal feeling is right now, the winner of Man City, Real Madrid wins the competition because I think they're the two best teams. Man City haven't completely been at their best and Real Madrid always turn up in these situations, but the one thing that may go against them is that a number of their key players could miss the second leg. I think Vinny, Bellingham, Camavinga and Tchouaméni are all one yellow card away. So we'll have to see. But I think the winner of that wins the competition. You're the favourites, I think, to beat Dortmund. As you said, Dortmund both were a bit inconsistent, but I think your players and Simeone himself have a little bit more experience of going this deep into the Champions League than Dortmund has. That could be the difference. And PSG Barcelona, I think, is dependent on the form of Kylian Mbappe. If Mbappe's at his best, I'm not too sure how Barca stop him. But PSG have a history, even when they look like that they have the better squad, they have a history of just not getting over the line. And in a way, I don't think Barca will be under that much pressure because they have a lot of young players. So that may work in their favour a bit in terms of the expectation. I'm talking worldwide. I'm not talking necessarily in Spain or in Barcelona. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting end to the competition. I think if you guys get past Dortmund and get to the semi-finals, I think over the course of the season, I think that's more than acceptable. Because I mentioned earlier, last year you didn't get out your group. So that turnover is a positive for your season. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, but my guess is right now the winner of the Man City-Madrid game will win the competition.
Well, Man City are basically on top of world football at the moment, given they have basically one of the all-time greats in Pep Guardiola and Real Madrid's history in the Champions League. So one never knows. So let's see how things go. And Kelv, before we say goodbye, one final question. What do you think will be Atleti's position in the league and also how far will they go in the Champions League?
I think you'll be third or fourth in La Liga. Probably fourth, depending on what happens with Girona. But Girona could drop if you have good form. And I think you guys will get to the semi-final. I don't know if you guys will get to the final. I think it depends on who you get in the semis. But my personal feeling is, and it's my hope as well, because I want all the La Liga teams to do well in that's left in the Champions League, my feeling is you'll get past Dortmund. And of course, if you get to the semi-final, there's, of course, an opportunity you get to the final. But we'll have to see. My feeling is you get to the semi-final.
Okay, I think if that was given at the start of the season where Atleti makes the semi-final of the Copa del Rey, which is the semi-final of the Champions League and also finish in the top four, I think a lot of Atleti fans would take that. But given how the season have gone and Atleti fans knowing Atleti had a lot of chances to maybe like achieve more, I think a lot of fans will feel disappointed towards the end of the season. It's like we have, at the start of the season, we have like maybe achieved more than what we expected, maybe achieved what we did not think we could. But then again, we could have done more and it seems to be another trophy-less season for Atleti. But well, Kev, guys, it's been great having you and you on the show once more.
Thank you very much. It's always enjoyable. I learn a lot through doing this, and I hope you guys and all the Atleti fans and that, I hope you have a good end to the season. I hope you get top four and who knows, maybe even the semi-final, or even if luck goes your way a bit, get into the final of the Champions League again, because for a club of your stature to have done that three times in the last sort of 10 years would be very, very impressive.
Yeah, for sure, Kev, we'll be impressed. And what would be funny is, given all the slander we have given to this team and the defense, and if the team maybe even reaches the final, and who knows, go all the way, that would be kind of funny, because this would basically be I believe maybe not the worst Cholismo team, but basically as compared to the other team, will be really, according to me, they maybe the worst that has even reached the semifinal. So who knows? And like you said,
yeah,
maybe we have a good end to the season. And please, Colchoneros, we need a lot of positivity. And please remember, Nunca Deja de Creer, never stop believing. And these players are just humans, and they have up and down moments, just like we ourselves have up and down moments in our life. See you next time.